Way back when I was thinking about starting a high-ticket dropshipping business, the one thing I was looking for was someone to show me what one of these sites looks like. So John and I have done that for you at dropshipbreakthrough.com/go. So head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go and watch the free training.
Aiming for that really massive, lavish thing. I want to have boats and private jets and Lamborghinis and blah, blah, blah. Like, you are not going to believe that you can do that. Like, the number to achieve that is really high when you're at zero. And this is a bit of a trick with setting yourself goals. If you go from zero to $100 million a year, your brain is never going to believe you can do that.
Welcome to the Dropship Podcast, where you'll learn how to build and grow a high-ticket dropshipping business and hear stories from successful e-commerce entrepreneurs. Let's kick this thing off. Hey, welcome to the Dropship Podcast. And today we're going to talk about dreamlining. You may have heard of this from the 4-Hour Workweek by Tim Ferriss, very famous book back from 2008, I think. Certainly a book that most entrepreneurs who were from the ilk that John and I are from, and something I think a lot of people read, and hopefully it's still popular nowadays because it's an awesome book. Even if some of the tactics are maybe a little bit different, like, it's still incredible and it'll help you think about the world in a different way. Today, we kind of want to touch on this based around high ticket dropshipping. And so, like, how can you dreamline the ideal life for yourself? And then how can your high ticket dropshipping business actually lead you to those goals? So John and I, we partner with some of our best students, and we recently brought on a partner who, when we asked, hey, what are our big goals here? They mentioned eight figures. They want to get to eight figures. And then as we worked our way backwards from eight figures, it was actually a much, much smaller number that they wanted to bring in yearly or bring in monthly, that eight figures isn't even necessary to get there. And so we can shoot for eight figures, but if we, you know, as the saying goes, if we shoot for Mars and we land on the moon, we're actually going to reach those goals. And it reminded me of this dreamlining. I know we mentioned it on a recent podcast episode as well, but the idea of it is, like, define your ideal lifestyle. So when's the last time you listened to this actually sat down and said, what do I fucking want in my life? And you can, you know, you can get outrageous if you want to, but realistically, what do you want in your life? And it might not be a private jet or a yacht or some of those things, right? Or a Lambo. But what do you want? And then actually sit down and calculate the cost of that. And I think when I did this exercise, I was very surprised that it's not really that much. And I don't remember if he goes into this in the book, John, but does he actually, like, have you sit down and say, hey, what's your number? I know people like to talk about your number. What's your number such by which, if you got, you know, whatever, 5% returns on the market year over year, you could just live that lifestyle forever. I'm not sure if he went into that. I know I did that calculation myself of, you know, what's the FIRE lifestyle where you can take 4% out for the rest of your, anyway, I digress. But, like, this exercise to me is really fun in that often it's a much smaller number than you think you need to actually, like, live the true lifestyle that you want to lead. And, you know, I think a high ticket dropshipping business can get most people to their ideal lifestyle. I'm sure there's some people listening to this who have, you know, caviar dreams, but most people, I think, can get to a really, really amazing lifestyle and probably meet everything that they want to accomplish in their life financially through this business.
If you're listening in and you'd like to take the first steps towards building your own high-ticket dropshipping business, head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go, where we've got a free training waiting for you that's going to walk you through the first steps you need to take to start your own high-ticket dropshipping business. And I'm going to walk you through an actual example of what one of these businesses looks like. I'll see you there.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. It is a really good exercise. And, you know, I think it's a good one to pair, I should say, with the Vivid Vision exercise, which we're big fans of. The Vivid Vision, the book by Cameron Herold, an exercise everybody should do, which is all about, you know, mapping out your, you know, where you want your business to be, where you want your personal life to be, the goals that you need to set to get there, and all of this sort of thing along the way. And then you can pair that with, you know, the sort of dreamlining exercise to say, well, what is that actually going to cost to get there? Like, how much funding do I need to make that a reality? Which you can then, if you've got a high ticket dropshipping business, particularly, and that was a good thing about talking about it with our new partner, is like looking at his business and saying, well, what are your profit margins, and that sort of thing. Like, you can then, you can really pare it down and say, all right, well, given I'd love to have that and that, and that's going to cost this and that and the other, then in my business, I can see that I need to hit this amount of revenue and this amount of gross profit and this amount of net profit. And you can really break it down. And I think, yeah, often when you do that, it starts to look very achievable. Like, I'll be honest, most people's goals, you don't need an eight-figure business to hit that. Like, realistically, at an average high-ticket dropshipping margin, if you hit $10 million in sales a year, you're going to be putting $100,000 a month in your pocket, right? If it was just you by yourself, like as the sole business owner, potentially. And do you really need $100,000 a month to reach your ideal life? So I'd say probably not. Like, you know, the people with it, like, yeah, I want to have a private jet and blah, blah, cars and all of that. Like, that's not really, I'd challenge it. That's really your ideal lifestyle. I'd challenge you. That's probably a cool idea. Is that what you need to feel good about life and feel comfortable and be happy? No, you don't really. You know you don't. But you can do a lot with that money, right? And that's an achievable goal, you know, over time, if you set your mind to it. So I think, yeah, it's a good exercise. And I think it's, it gives you, in doing this exercise is great because it gives you things to measure against. And I think, like, making progress in life and in business is really hard if what you're shooting for is just like this kind of general, kind of ephemeral idea. Like, when you can actually, like, put, like, numbers down on paper, like, if you've got the big number over there, you can then break that down into steps that you can measure against and know, how am I tracking? You can see your momentum and your progress taking you through various steps towards that goal. And not only does it help you to see that what you want is actually probably more achievable than it might seem without going through the exercise, but it also gives you things to measure against and know whether you're doing the right things and all of that sort of stuff, which, you know, is very, very, something that makes me feel a lot, I feel a lot more secure and comfortable with what I'm doing when I know, like, specifically what I'm trying to achieve. And I can measure where I am against that. Like, whereas if everything's kind of a bit like airy-fairy and up in the air, like, I personally don't feel as good about what I'm doing. So I think from a mindset perspective, having done exercises like these, it just gives you a lot more comfort in knowing, being able to know whether you're doing the right things or not, or you're moving in the right direction. Even if you're not there yet, you can still say, well, yeah, okay, I can see that my numbers are here, I want to be here, and they're kind of trending up. And so, like, I'm getting closer to that number that I want, even if I'm not there yet. Or even if I'm not there in the time frame that I wanted to get there, I can still see that I'm making progress towards it. Even if it's going to take me an extra year than I thought, maybe. For example, you still know you're getting closer to there, and you take a lot of positivity from that. Whereas if you don't have a specific target, you never know whether you're actually reaching it or not. And so you can be putting in a lot of work and going, well, I don't know if what I'm doing is working. I don't really feel good about it. And at that point, like, particularly coming off the back of our last episode, we talked about believing in what you can achieve and how important that is for actually achieving things. If you've got nothing to measure against, it's really hard to believe that what you're doing is taking you towards that particular outcome or that goal or that target, whatever it might be.
I love that you brought up vivid vision. I feel like we haven't mentioned it on the show a lot lately. I know we did early on.
Yeah.
It's one book I would recommend to literally everyone. It's a very short book, and it'll allow you to do an exercise that lets you go sit. So I'm about, by the way, woo-woo warning. Let me put the woo-woo warning out here because this is woo-woo. But, like, it'll allow you to go sit in your future. So it wants you to clearly define where you want to go and then literally sit in that. I'm a big believer in the fact that, like, you create your own reality. I think Tesla said something of, like, if you want to find the secrets of the universe, think in terms of energy and frequency and vibration. That's the same sort of thing. You know, the secret would tell you, believe it and match the vibration and the frequency, and it'll, you know, put a fucking check on your wall. You know, again, it's all a little bit woo-woo, but I would tell you this, like, visualization, there's a reason that the pros do it, right? The best golf coach in the world has you visualize you making the shot, you hit the shot, and then you visualize making it again, so that at least 2 out of 3 times, if not 3 out of 3, you visualized a good outcome. You visualize what it would feel like if the right thing happened. So Vivid Vision, the book by Cameron Harrell, does the same thing. It helps you go sit in this and really truly visualize what your life is going to be like. And so that's Vivid Vision, kind of like a lot like the last episode, like you said. And now pairing that with dreamlining, where you're actually, like, defining your ideal lifestyle, like, what would your ideal day look like? Where would you live? What activities would you engage in? With whom would you spend your time? What skills would you like to develop? And if you can kind of marry those two together, and then, you know, again, do the rest of the dream line, calculate the cost, and then find the measurables and work your way backwards of what it's going to take to get there. Honestly, maybe there needs to be a, you know, a 4-hour vivid vision or something like that that we need to put together, because I think those two really work well together in defining what you want, seeing it, and then what does that actually look like to get there, and then working your way backwards. And I think we're doing a, you know, an episode on setting measurable goals and things like that in the future. I feel like this ties right into that.
Yep. Yeah, it does. And I think visualization probably in various ways gets overplayed by some people. I don't think it's like a magic thing. Once again, I think it's just another like tool, if you like, in the toolbox of building belief. Like, once again, going back to that last episode we talked about, you got to build belief in yourself, in you know, that you're capable and you're worthy of the outcomes that you're trying to achieve. And I think, along with the other things we mentioned in that episode, and if you haven't listened to that, go back and listen to it. It's a great episode. Visualization is just another thing that you can put alongside, you know, the other things we talked about there to help you build that belief. Like, yeah, you want to see yourself in the place that you want to be. Like, if you can imagine it, then that helps, makes it easier for you to believe that you can achieve it. Whereas if you sit there and go, well, I want to live in a mansion, but I don't believe I can live in a mansion. Like, you're not gonna. Like, that's just the reality, because you'll sabotage yourself long before you even get close.
Sounds like you're a little woo-woo as well, John.
I mean, look, I'll be 100% honest. Like, when I first started in the entrepreneurial journey, you know, 10 years ago now, I did not believe any of this shit that we're talking about now. Like, if you had brought this up with me, I would have been like, oh, whatever, you know, that's bullshit. You know, that I don't need any of that stuff. And I think somebody asked us a question somewhere about, like, what are your beliefs that have changed over the years? I mean, this would be one of them for me, is that, and once again, it's been a gradual realization for me, not just, from going through it myself, but like hearing so many other people who are ahead of, like, I would consider have done the things that I would like to do, talk about the importance of these things. So if I hear like 10 or 20 people who are at 9 figures a year and I'm at 8 figures a year and I want to be at 9 figures a year, and they all say visualization, you know, all of this sort of stuff we're talking about, building belief, you know, mindset, are the biggest things for us, then I'm not going to sit here and say, well, no, that's bullshit. Like, I'm not, that's, I can't do that. You literally can't do that. Right. So, I think that, you know, that's one of the big things that's changed for me. So yeah, I guess I don't even think of it as woo anymore. To me, it's not like some, I mean, there are different levels, and there are some things out there that I would say are woo-woo. And they are not things that I hear successful people talking about. They're things that I hear unsuccessful people talking about who are just trying to escape the pain of life with something. But there are definitely a lot of things in the space of what some people consider woo-woo that 100% work. And if you're not making them part of your life, then you're hurting your chances. You can argue against that all you like, my friend. You'll stay at the bottom.
Yeah, I think it wasn't really talked about a lot earlier in our lives either, John. It was,
not at all.
You went to therapy, you're not a man. You know what I mean? It was very ego-driven. And I think, honestly, part of your journey might need to be ego-driven to, like, get the fucking work done. And, like, there was a huge chip on my shoulder at one point, and that caused me to get all of this done that got me here. And then I realized, oh, shit, I got here, and I'm still not happy. I need to work on myself. And so maybe there is a process to get to the woo-woo. But, you know, certainly if you can do some of this stuff in the beginning, I think it's going to work for you. All right, we got away from dreamlining there. Let's get back. So, like, do you remember this process for you? Like, I want to say when I did it, I hadn't started anything. And I bet I can find the document somewhere where I wrote this out. And it was like, shocking. Like, I thought I needed $10 million, $20 million, something like that to live off the whatever. And it really wasn't that much. It was, like, way less. And again, this is pre-COVID. We haven't printed 40% of our money supply. This is like, you know, back when your dollar went a little bit further. But I want to say it was only at like 150, 200 for the year back then. Again, this was me, you know, coming from a 40K a year job to this place that it was a lot less than I thought it would be to live the life I wanted to. And again, I'm having Claude help me with this, by the way. If you haven't used Claude, check it out. They want you to calculate the cost of the lifestyle, like researching the actual cost of the elements in it, breaking down expenses into categories like housing, travel, hobbies, education, accounting for both fixed costs like rent and variable costs like travel, considering any potential income from activities in your ideal lifestyle, factoring in savings, things like that. And when I actually set that out, I was just like, you know, here's what I'd like to drive. Here's where I'd like to live. Here's how much travel we'd like to do. Here's how many kids we'd like to have and what that's going to cost and things like that. It was a much smaller number than I thought. And honestly, that was like super motivating to me because it seemed achievable at that moment to, you know, to, it wasn't like a step function different. It wasn't a 100x difference or even a 10x difference. It was like a 5x difference from where I was.
Yeah, correct. I definitely don't have a record of, I have a record of some of my early Vivid Vision exercises when I first started doing that, which was a bit after this. And definitely the 4-hour work week was the first book I ever read, like before I started a business, like about business, changing your life, that sort of thing. So shout out to Tim Ferriss for making that possible. And I think a lot of people misunderstand that book because of its title, which Tim himself says is like the worst title in history in hindsight. But I definitely remember doing this, and I have the same takeaway that you've just expressed, is that I went through the exercise and I came out with like it was like a 5-figure a month number of income, like, you know, 20,000 a month or something like that. Which at the time I had a full-time job, right? Which wasn't a bad paying full-time job. It certainly was nowhere near the top, but it wasn't bad. And so it was kind of like, yeah, I remember doing it. And my takeaway was very much that, yeah, like the number is believable. Like it wasn't like, oh, you need to go out and be making $1 million a month sort of thing. Which if you saw that, you would be like going, oh, yeah, I don't believe I can do that, right? If you've never done anything before. Which is why aiming for that really massive, lavish thing, I want to have boats and private jets and Lamborghinis and blah, blah, blah. Like you are not going to believe that you can do that. Like the number to achieve that is really high when you're at zero. And this is a bit of a like trick with setting yourself goals. If you go from zero to $100 million a year, your brain is never going to believe you can do that. Right? And you haven't seen anyone do that. As much as social media might try and tell you otherwise, you haven't seen anyone do that either. You won't see anyone do that either. Just because you don't see the backstory doesn't mean that you're seeing it. And so I think, yeah, for me, it was probably only a 4X, I'd say, without remembering the specific number. It was something like when I did it the first time, I was like, I needed to 4X my income or something like that. Which, you know, I mean, it's a big jump, don't get me wrong, but it wasn't a jump where I looked at it and went, oh, you know, there's no way that's ever going to happen. Because I could then take that number and then at this point I'm starting to interact in business circles with people and I can see people who are doing that number. And I can say, oh, okay, so what are they doing? Well, they're doing this high ticket drop shipping thing and I can learn a bit more about that and I can go and start doing that myself. And so I can see the pathway to there, even if I haven't done it yet. And so once again, that helps to build my belief that not only is the number achievable, but I've seen some people who have done that number and I know what they're doing. So I know that there is a path for me to go and do that number.
I think I'd love to see anyone, if you've done this before, share your experience in the comments. I'd love to know, like, was yours this giant step function difference? Also, if you have like this crazy lavish lifestyle that you want to put in there, I'd love to read that too, just for fun. Leave a comment below. If you haven't done it, go order Vivid Vision. Go order the 4-Hour Work Week. I promise you won't regret reading both of those books and do the exercises inside of them. And again, come back and leave a comment. Let us know, what does your dream line look like? What does your Vivid Vision look like? And how can we support you in reaching those goals? Thanks for listening to the Dropship Podcast. You can find all the show notes for this episode at dropshippodcast.com. And if you're ready to take the next step in your dropshipping journey, we invite you to join us inside Dropship Breakthrough, where John and I will walk you through step-by-step in starting your own high-ticket dropshipping e-commerce business. But that's not all. Dropship Breakthrough will also teach you everything you'll need to know to grow your business and take it to the next level.
So head over to dropshipbreakthrough.com and sign up for our free training that will help you take the first steps towards building and growing your own profitable high-ticket dropshipping business.
John and I both love business, think about it all the time, can't turn it off, and don't know why anyone would want to. And because of that, we started a second podcast where we can talk about everything we've ever wanted to talk about in business, not just dropshipping. We like talking about all things business. So if you want to hear John and I talk about all sorts of stuff, from camel meat dropshipping businesses to PDF dropshipping to a guy gambling $100 every single day on YouTube Shorts, to how OnlyFans taught us lessons in business. We're all over the place over there, but it's a really fun podcast. So if you're a podcast listener, you love John and I, head over to your podcast player of choice and look for The Low Bar Podcast. You'll see a blue image and you'll see a cartoon version of John and myself. And go back and start at episode one. I promise you will not regret this. This is one of the more fun projects that I have done recently. I know John's having fun too, so we'd love it if you joined us. Check out The Low Bar Podcast on YouTube or wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts.